Hey, Tom.
Drizzer.
I don't know if I've told you this yet, but you've been sent to the other podcast.
Oh no. But we've had so much plotline continuity.
Right. But I've now called up Oliver to be on the show.
Oh.
But we're now sending Derek to the non podcast world.
Okay.
NPT. I don't know. Couldn't think of a joke there. Anyway, in case you can't tell, we're going to talk about the Superstar Shakeup today.
That's the thing that's going on.
Superstars were shaken up. They were shaken around. Some of them are even upside down.
Some of them got shook completely out of the organization.
Yeah, but of their own volition. Right? Does that really count?
I mean, I guess.
All right. But we got a quiet week after Mania week. It's kind of nice. Not a lot else otherwise news-wise in wrestling. So we're just going to dive into where everybody went and what we want to see. And we'll go from there this week. How's that sound to you, Tom?
I mean, figure if this was your... if you were trying to catch up on last week's podcast, which was, what, hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
Able to cram this one in and have it be a smaller podcast so that you can take the two podcasts together and have it be like two normal sized podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
I mean, or just do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah. Just listen to us whenever, wherever. We're meant to be together, as Shakira would say. So, without further ado, Tom, can you do me a favor, buddy?
What's that, Jason?
Can you ring that bell?
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Oh, buddies, it's the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. My name is JC, and here next to me at the commentary table to the stars is my good buddy, Mr. Work Great, Tom.
Did you get it right this week?
I did. I nailed it. I might have practiced before we ever hopped on the line.
Didn't realize you needed to practice, I listened back to it today, and we were trying to figure out what it is you said, because my kid was listening in too, and he's just like, what are you trying to say? We have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I also did go back and actually listen to that part, and I was like, what word was my brain trying to get out there? But
did you smell burnt toast when you said that?
Just lemons.
That may be a sign.
Yeah, well, there are plenty of signs of things being wrong with me, and if that's just one of them, we're okay. Number one sign of things being wrong with me, we're doing this podcast again this week, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
To be a warning of a stroke.
Yes, that's how I feel after 5 hours of WWE every week. I feel my brain oozing out of my ears. And then we sit here and talk about it for another hour.
Because not only do you need all that special hashtag content...
Oh yeah,
we need analysis as well.
Oh yeah, that's what we're here for. We're here for all the analysis. I hope I spelled it right. Did I spell it right? I don't know. In the effort to get the joke in.
Yes. I'm gonna say you did, and
I think I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's.
Hear about it if we didn't. So.
Right, yeah. With our loyal fan base letting us know. Anyway, so let's dive in to the shakeup here. Should I just run down who went where, who changed? Should we start with that?
It's better to do that just because there are some things that actually get revealed on the show, and there are a few things that you only find out about when you go to the website after the fact.
Right. If those are the people you know are getting buried. So, to Raw, The Miz, Andrade, Ricochet, Aleister Black, The Viking Experience, We'll come back to that. Rey Mysterio, The Usos, Naomi, Zelina Vega, Eric Young, EC3, Cedric Alexander, Lars Sullivan. He was there for a second. There we go. Now my screen moved. Lacey Evans and the phenomenal AJ Styles. Initial thoughts on the moves to Raw.
I was a little surprised with AJ. I thought they'd keep him on SmackDown. I learned why AJ went over to Raw the following day to see what superstar signing for SmackDown was done. But, right. Outside of that, I mean, I think it's cool in general, and it's something that you don't necessarily think of as a fan, but they kept couples together. And you've got Uso, Naomi, you've got I'm going completely.
Zelina Vega and Zelina Vega and Aleister Black. Those were the next ones you were going with.
I was going Zelina Vega and Andrade, and I'm like, wait a second, no, that's kayfabe, you fool.
Right. They did split up Charlotte and Andrade. There was one other couple. I was like, Alexa Bliss and Buddy Murphy.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Is Alexa technically on Raw? I mean,
yes.
She hasn't. Okay.
Yep. So here's the SmackDown list, and then we'll give our thoughts on everything. To SmackDown, the Intercontinental Champion, Finn Balor, Ember Moon, Bayley, Kairi Sane, Lars Sullivan, because he got drafted twice in a week, Buddy Murphy, Elias, Roman Reigns, Liv Morgan, Chad Gable, Apollo Crews, Mickie James, Heavy Machinery, and Nikki Cross. Now, the Nikki Cross, EC3, Ricochet, Aleister Black, Viking Experience thing, they were all just kind of floating in the ether until all this right. happened. So those are their official roster spots now. So let's start with the obvious here. How dumb is the Viking Experience?
It sucks because it's almost like the WWE writing squad, or whatever you want to call them, the War Raiders, and said, are people going to get it? Is it not obvious enough?
Yeah.
We need to hammer down the concept that these guys are kind of like Vikings.
Well, like, it goes back to everything that always happens, which tells us that Vince thinks everyone that watches is a complete idiot. Which is why week to week doesn't matter, because no one's going to remember, damn it. And then stuff like this, like, we have to tell them. We have to lay it out painfully. So,
To be fair, Viking Experience.
Say that again. You broke up.
Could be Team Viking Experience.
It's still awful. Now, I did see someone on Twitter point out that before Patrick Clark was officially the Velveteen Dream, when he initially debuted this gimmick, he was the Patrick Clark Experience. So, maybe it changes. But, man, it's just such a bad name, especially on the Titantron. It's bad.
I mean, and it surprised me a little bit just because they hadn't spent that much time in NXT.
No. And they're still the champs, too.
And the thing was, too, that WWE's been so much better recently with names and maintaining kind of like name history of established you know, independent, and people have wrestled for different promotions. It used to be immediately as soon as you went under the WWE umbrella, you got the name change, you got the new trademark, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been different more recently, especially with established people now.
Right.
War Raiders were... Where were they before that? Or something else?
I tried to think of this the other day. What were they in ROH? War Machine. There we go.
Okay. And they changed the name slightly because... implications. I think there were a couple of different reasons why they kind of threw it out there, like from it being potentially almost kind of Nazi related to the fact that there was the Ultimate Fighter War Machine who was like domestic abuser.
Right.
Maybe we don't use this name, but we use something similar. We'll be the War Raiders instead of...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's similar enough so that fans are saying, okay, well, you know, but this was a more of a kind of WWE scrub of getting rid of the history and be like, hey, look at these guys, they're new, they're different, they're fresh.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it as much if it wasn't so memeable, right? Like, yeah. There was an entire thread on Reddit this week about, you know, should we move to change the blank has entered the impact zone meme to the blank experience meme? Like, it's just such a joke. It just doesn't have the weight to it. Like, when you hear War Raiders, you think of, like, strong, hefty, like, guys that are going to kick some ass. Then you hear the Viking experience, and you're like, cool, I'm sitting on a boat on a water ride looking at animatronics on either side.
Thing is, if I change their name too, you've eliminated the chant.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
One of my wife's favorite parts of the NXT show that we went to was the War Raiders chant that they were due.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great chant. It's simple. It works with their theme. Like, it gets them over. It's not just a disjointed chant.
Right.
I don't know. It's bad.
Are they going to do the skull clap now? Or are they going to be...
Yeah. They're also no longer Hanson and Rowe, by the way. Don't know if you caught that part.
Oh, I did see something where I was looking at the list.
Ivar and Eric.
Really don't think it's going to last.
Oh. No, I think it's getting... changed, hopefully. Please. For the love of all that is holy, fix it. All right. So now we got that out of the way. Because that discussion had to happen.
There'll be the bludgeon experience.
Yeah, that worked out well. So with these changes, which brand do you now think is the A show? Which I realize is dumb. It's a dumb concept for one of them to be the A show now anyway. But which one would, if you had to pick one, what would it be?
And I still think you're going with Raw until Fox kicks in.
Okay.
Raw is still going to be the main show. Appreciate them kind of bringing Roman over to SmackDown, but at the same time you're bringing AJ over to Raw, and Raw is still Vince's baby. Always going to be treated like the number one show until the guy, you know, Rupert Murdoch's paying his $1 billion or whatever and going to make that product. But Raw is still going to be, even with all the switches, Raw's always going to be the number one show.
Right. So I definitely feel like I agree with what you said, but they're clearly positioning SmackDown to become the A show. You put Roman there, number one, and he's the anointed chosen one. You move Finn there, who is one of your most marketable, personable superstars, and can also serve as a face to the company. You put two of your most diverse women there, in Kairi Sane and Ember Moon. You also put Bailey, who has all of the media experience. It feels like that's where they're going.
Positioning is there.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Raw, right? I mean, you look at it feels like Raw is now going to become the wrestling show and SmackDown is the sports entertainment show. Because you look at the Raw roster now, right? Andrade, Ricochet, Aleister Black, Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio, the Usos, Cedric Alexander.
About Cedric.
Yeah. I mean, like, not that I want to take anything away from anyone on SmackDown. Like, all of those, you know, Buddy Murphy's there, Finn's there, Roman's there, you moved Gable there, Kevin Owens is still there. The New Day, like, you've got wrestlers there too, but it just feels like the way they're positioning it is to where SmackDown is going to be the pretty show that's on national television that can connect with a much broader audience, and Raw is going to become a little more niche.
Right. I say too, though, and this isn't necessarily small SmackDown or Raw related, or small as I was going to call it. I really appreciate now it seems like 205 can be a stepping point now, because with Buddy Murphy being up, with Cedric Alexander being up, with the success of Mustafa Ali. Ali.
There you go.
And am I thinking of, is there one more that I'm thinking of?
No, not right. No, I think you're right. You're good. I think it's everybody.
With at least those three. I mean, it's showing that. Well, I guess if you want to, you can throw Black is not 205 Live, so that doesn't necessarily prove my point. But I mean, just 205 Live people being able to 205 just seemed kind of like a wasteland. It was the Isle of Misfit Toys. We didn't necessarily know where to put things. They throw the 205 Live match in Raw every once in a while, but now it's showing that, hey, we can actually take these guys and move them up to the main roster and put them in actual traditional matches and not have them like have to change the ropes every time and
yeah,
a separate compartment.
It feels weird to me that we're like, even WWE is calling these call-ups in articles. That they're making the admission that 205 Live is not on the same level as Raw and SmackDown. Which I get, because it's, you know, the viewership is incredibly low. And it's not, right? Presentation-wise, promotional-wise, it's not. But I don't know. I hate it, because that show is so good. And the talent's so good.
Yeah.
But I guess it gives them another placeholder space to keep people. Which is a good thing for them, right? As they as they create the glass menagerie of talent.
They have to kind of keep something separate too, and it leaves it for an area where you have guys like, say, Grand Metalik, who is an excellent wrestler, but it's difficult to package him to an American audience because he can't talk.
Right. That's the real niche wrestling show that WWE creates.
Yeah.
Not even NXT.
I mean, you have these guys that are talented, but you know that 205 Live isn't that it's sports entertainment in its own way.
Right.
And it's not going to be mainstream. And again, throwing the occasional 205 Live match for mass consumption is, I think, works as long as you let them do their own match and not try to, I mean, what they were doing when they were being put on Raw and having to do these 5 minute doing a 205 match.
Yeah. That didn't work.
Anything.
Yeah.
To have them be separately and know that, okay, well, while we're trying to figure out if there's something that we can do with them to put them on the main roster, like, again, Buddy Murphy, who was languishing in NXT, no angle, no nothing, you know, cut weight down enough, kayfabe or not, to get on the 205 Live roster,
mm-hmm,
to work his way into the title picture. And now he's part of a WWE roster where, you know, we're going, Buddy Murphy? No. Like, hasn't he gotten cut yet?
He's still here? Yeah.
He's only here because Alexa's here.
Right. He truly was the best kept secret.
Yeah.
So, looking at the rosters, my biggest question right now is, I guess, is Joe going to go to Raw? And they just didn't do it this week to move the U.S. title to Raw, since Finn and the Intercontinental title have now moved to SmackDown?
That's what I wasn't sure about, especially since Finn lost the match to Andrade. That I actually had to go look up, since I didn't watch Raw because, sorry, I was busy Monday.
You were a little busy.
I
was barely watching it.
When I ended up looking it up and hearing that Andrade beat Finn, I was like, oh, is Andrade the new Intercontinental Champion? And I've looked through, hit Wikipedia real quick just to see the... And I'm like, well, Finn's still listed as champion.
Mm-hmm.
That's odd. Cool that, you know, Andrade got to win and got, you know, a decent rub out of it, but... And I like the fact... Oh, I like the fact in some aspects of it that can be defeated and not lose their belt. Like, not every match. Attitude Era was big on, well, if a guy with a title wrestles a match, it's automatically a championship match.
Right.
Be the fact. I mean, I grew up on, like, wrestling forever, like 60s, 70s, 80s. Champions never wrestled on television.
Yeah.
For their title. They would wrestle. They would have, you know, the occasional match. Like, I just remember it being such a big deal when Ric Flair would actually wrestle on, like, the Superstation when on World Championship Wrestling on the Saturday evening show. But he'd always wrestle some jobber, and obviously it's not a title match, because that was the big appeal of the World Television Championship, because that had to be defended on television.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was called the World Television Championship, because the U.S. Championship and the World Championship, those were not ever defended on television. Those were only defended on shows and, you know, later on pay-per-view. But, I mean, to have Andrade get that win, again, made him look good, and I was like, oh, well, like, you know, I guess we'll put him into the title picture. Well, the title just went to the other product, so.
Yeah, I was confused by that, too. But, it puts him in a good position as a good introduction to the Raw audience, too, because of the way they structured that match, to have him win only with the help of Zelina Vega.
Right.
So, you establish that character really strongly there, in that method.
Then I wasn't sure if they were going to do something weird like they did the last shakeup when they had, I guess it was Miz showed up on, here's a couple shakeups ago. I don't know. Miz jumped from one show to the other with the title, ended up losing the title, and then whoever beat him for the title showed up like on SmackDown the next day.
Yeah. I think it was Jeff Hardy, wasn't it?
Yeah, might have been.
With the U.S. title?
Yeah. Just to do a, you know, kind of like double swerve type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So as far as we know at this point, both mid-card championships are on SmackDown. But I assume that changes. Because that doesn't work.
If they do a U.S. title open challenge.
Oh, yeah.
A Raw person jump over to SmackDown just for the open challenge, win the title, and then...
then take it back?
Run it over to Raw.
And you could even hold that off till Money in the Bank, right? And just do it at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have... hopefully, because hopefully the crossover stuff, other than Becky, is done now, right? We can go back to actually having a brand split.
That's a thing, too. It's we haven't had a brand split since, like, at least, what, the last 6 months? When they started taking the pay-per-views out and just making the pay-per-views completely mixed, and then...
well, I like the pay-per-views mixed. That's a good idea. I mean... I think that makes more sense.
Thing, but, and I think it really ended up being an issue because of the women just showing up wherever the hell they wanted to.
Yeah. But I think that's over now.
Yeah.
So that was going to be my next question was which title does Becky lose first, right? Is she going to drop the Raw to Lacey Evans? Or is she dropping the SmackDown title to... according to the Twitter beef that was going on today, potentially Ember Moon. Like, I don't know which is a better option. I want to say Ember Moon, but
yeah, Ember's the better option just for the fact that package her, I think, and Lacey's heel heat at this point, and not necessarily good heel heat, so. And I don't know. Maybe it will be good heel heat.
Yeah. She has the potential to get there.
Not horrible. I mean, we've watched her in NXT. She's not bad.
No.
It's just the stupid build.
I do enjoy Becky just yelling at her, basically calling her Charlotte 2.0 on Twitter every day. Oh. Oh, look, you're tall and you're blonde and you're being pushed to the moon. You must be Charlotte. Including the tweet today where she was like, and you're from the South? Are you sure? You must have come from when Ric Flair was running around down there shagging everybody. Like, oh, God. It's me paraphrasing the tweet, but it was funny.
She said something about, looks like WWE has a type.
She's not wrong.
Wait a second. What does she know? You can read my mind.
Becky's new gimmick, psychic.
Kick pun master.
So looking at the new makeup of Raw, let's start there. What is the most intriguing new potential matchup for you?
Now I actually have to look at the roster.
Yeah, you do. Hold on. I was really hoping you'd have one off the top of your head. For me, it's Cedric Alexander and Seth Rollins. I just want that. I want that in my veins.
We're talking that far ahead to... I mean, because Cedric's still got to build himself up.
I mean, what are potential great, you know, feuds, matches you could see? That's certainly one.
It's very odd as I just went to the WWE website and they have the picture of the champions. They have Becky Lynch as the Raw Women's Champion and Becky Lynch as the SmackDown Women's Champion. But for some reason, the SmackDown picture is a little bit tighter.
Well, yeah.
It's the exact same picture, just a little bit tighter so that it's obviously different.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a different Becky, clearly.
God, I forgot Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder are still champions.
Isn't it great? They've made it 2 whole weeks, man.
Island.
Who kills them first? The Viking Experience or the Usos? That's the real question. We can get Ricochet and Andrade. You could get Aleister Black and Andrade. Seth and Andrade. It's just, yeah. Because who would, I mean, if you think about who the best workers on that show are now, right? There's Seth. There's Andrade. There's Ricochet. There's Aleister Black. There's Cedric Alexander. There's Ray, too, right? Because this is 2019 Ray, who can go.
Hopefully we'll get healthy enough to get back to the position that he was in.
Yeah. Ooh, and hopefully you've got Joe floating around there, right? Could you imagine, like, a Joe Aleister Black feud? That'd be cool.
That'd be fun. I mean, give Joe a lot of credit, too, that, I mean, Joe is not the wrestler that he was, because, I mean, none of us are who we were in 2002.
Oh, no.
But
that boy can still go, right? Like,
someone his size, like, he can, one of the, I guess, he's one of the older wrestlers that has turned around and said, well, I may not necessarily be able to do the style that I used to, but I can adjust it somewhat and then still be one of the best wrestlers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And man can talk as well. That helps.
Yeah. All right, let's go to SmackDown then.
Looking for rosters. I can't find this.
I just had to go to Wikipedia. I just searched Superstar Shakeup on Wikipedia. And that way you can see that. Yeah.
I am completely unprepared.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
Used to have rundowns.
I have one in front of me. I could have sent it to you.
Let's see.
I definitely think. See, ooh, Buddy Murphy, Kevin Owens. That's a fun one. When I saw Roman, I was like, ooh, we can get a Roman Kevin Owens feud.
Kevin's happy though. This is fun, Kevin.
For now, we have how? God forbid we don't talk about that. Let's talk about Big O for a second. So as soon as he joins them and starts dancing with them on the KO show, I was like, oh, Kevin's going to kill Kofi at the end of the night. And then he didn't. And then I realized why. Because WWE has gotten smart. It's the same reason Roman wasn't brought out on the Raw after WrestleMania. Because they know the reaction. Kevin is not getting booed even if he attacks Kofi. Because they're in Montreal. Oh. So next week, when he's still with them, it will absolutely happen. Which, again, Kevin and Kofi. Choice. I'm good with this.
I mean, and they already kind of teased it a little bit when Kevin was taking Kofi's title shot. But, you know, that was only because of Vince.
Yeah.
I could see something there. With pretty much anybody, and Kofi with anybody just kind of works.
Yeah.
Just as long as it's not Lars Sullivan.
Yeah. Can I just say I'm already over that whole thing? Like, I'm done. I don't care.
It always needs one of those. That monster, and I'm okay with a monster in a limited kind of role,
but when has this, so the one exception to this is Braun Strowman, but when has it ever worked for them?
Braun really hasn't worked either. The fact that, where's Braun now?
Well, he had a good year after they did that with him, right? They positioned it correctly. Since then, they've totally bungled it. But they built him to that level, and it worked. I think after a year, you know, kind of all bets are off on that kind of stuff. But, like, let's look at Tensai. Let's look at Protus Clay. Like, when has any of this build to a monster ever worked for them?
Yeah,
and people just don't care. And then you have him Tuesday night on SmackDown, like, act like he's going to attack Carmella.
I was curious where they're going with that. I'm like, it's not 98, man.
Yeah, I mean,
do anything to her.
Exactly. And everyone knows that, but it's just like, why would you even have a character, like, clearly have that thought process in 2019? It was weird, and I didn't like it.
I was waiting for something weird, like Lars, you know, like...
just picks her up and carries her away.
Not even necessarily that, like kind of like tries to give her something like, I'm doing this for you, I'm showing you how great I am, or I don't know. He starts coming out with like crumpled up flowers or something like that and hands it to her. Just tights.
Are you saying Vince just read Of Mice and Men and was like, oh, this is a great book?
There's been plenty of Mice and Men in WWE over the years.
Yeah. You know what I think Vince did, though?
What's that?
Because we all know he doesn't sleep. He just works all the time. I don't think he read Of Mice and Men. I think he listened to Of Mice and Men.
It's very possible.
And you know how he did it?
What's that, JC?
He went to Audible.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Audible's a place that I can listen to books.
Yeah. And crazy enough, with it doesn't matter, because today's show is brought to you by Audible.
Okay.
And did you
know? That's why we're talking about it.
I know.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. They're offering all of you listening to this free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do, you go to audibletrial.com/cheatersneverpin. And you can look through all their selection of everything they've got. You get a title for free. And you get to start listening whenever you go to audibletrial.com/cheatersneverpin.
You can listen to any kind of John Steinbeck book, not just Of Mice and Men. You can listen to the other ones.
Yeah, there's all of them. Several of them, which I can't think of another one. And that third one?
I mean, all the classics. I mean, you know, if you want to... Bradbury.
Hemingway.
Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah. My favorite novel, The Sun Also Rises, by Hemingway. It's there.
You're a Hemingway fan. I'm not...
I am.
Not so much, but we've had this discussion before.
Yeah. Probably during this ad read, actually.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, they've got audiobooks, audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. Download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/cheatersneverpin. Again, that's audibletrial.com/cheatersneverpin and get a free audio book. So, would you say the shakeup is a success? Just looking at it right now, based on who is where, do you feel like this freshens up and creates a bright, shiny new 2019 for WWE?
I can't say anything yet. I think, I mean, people have shifted, so any kind of change is going to be, at least. So I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't know what plans are being done necessarily. A lot of times it's the shakeup that not necessarily even the wrestlers, like the how differently they end up being booked. Like 2 years ago was Oh, they sent I think of his name. Anyway, you send somebody, you know, send basically a...
Are we talking about Alex Riley?
Huh?
Are we talking about Alex Riley?
I'm not talking about Alex Riley. Oh. I'm talking about...
Rage. Missed that guy. Just wanted to say his name on this podcast.
Oh, God. The Indian wrestler.
Gender?
Why can I not think of his name?
The modern day Maharaja? Jinder Mahal? Yeah.
But I mean, you had Jinder Mahal on Raw doing nothing. Just pretty much brought onto the roster because people liked him. And they needed to fill out the roster because they were going to have superstar shakeups. They put him over into SmackDown. While he's here, let's give him a huge push for no reason.
Right. Let's make him champion for an entire summer and drive the ratings into the ground.
I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, we're looking at these major people that have moved back and forth, but it could be the minor little move later on down the line. I mean, it was like Alexa Bliss that ended up getting called up at the very end of the Superstar Shakeup from NXT. And
yeah.
The post show or something like that, we found out about it and that ended up blowing up. So
yeah, I'm glad Roman.
It could be some very minor.
Sorry, finish. Sorry.
No, I was going to say it could be some very minor move that ends up being the thing that actually makes the shakeup.
Yeah. I'm glad Roman's away from Seth. I think that allows Seth to become a bigger star. I think having Roman on SmackDown now gives them someone to make bigger stars with over there. Because I don't know. I don't know where I was going to go with that statement. It just feels like moving Roman kind of unclogs the top. And I was going to say, but I mean, they did move AJ over to Raw. And I'm like, I don't know where he fits in on Raw yet. Which worries me.
I mean, could this be a sign of AJ kind of reducing his workload a little bit? He goes on the Raw, which already has a packed roster, and he doesn't necessarily have to be is the show.
Yeah, that's true. So let's talk about the roster less packing itself. Apparently two people have requested their releases from WWE. Most notably, Luke Harper.
Which is odd. Because if you watch that... Oh, just, I guess, both the things that we're going to talk about. If the other name is who I'm thinking of. The Worlds Collide event that they had on Sunday just seems so weird.
You had him
going, you had Luke Harper going over, you had Sanity in, like, you know, a major thing, and then suddenly...
Well, you've got to remember, so that's filmed at Access for the superfans.
That was from Access?
Yeah. Worlds Collide was filmed at Access. So, it's filler material. I mean, it doesn't matter. It gives someone a title shot, but, you know, they can go call their shot in NXT. Cool. Yeah, so Luke Harper's requested his release. Doesn't surprise me. He's been underutilized. Part of it has had to do with bad injury timing for both him and when he was with Rowan. I think they could have put him into a meaningful spot, but they didn't. So he's leaving, and I get that. And I respect that, because there are now options to go elsewhere.
I read somewhere they're like, oh, well, why is he bothering to request a release? He could still be making his paycheck, and now he's a 39-year-old guy who's going to be busting his ass for $50 on the indies. Like,
that's not how this works anymore.
I mean, yeah, AEW is not necessarily in the business of picking up WWE rejects or anything like that, but
no. I could see him going to Ring of Honor before anywhere else, right?
I was going to say, Luke Harper's going to have a spot in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
To have a lot of fun with him in Japan.
Yeah, he's such a great fit there, and he looks like Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to love him. Hell, he could just go...
Just for reference, Japan, yes. Puerto Rico, no.
Oh, so I watched... have you watched... Speaking of Bruiser Brody, have you watched any of the Viceland Dark Side of the Ring episodes?
It is saved on my DVR. We were just actually talking about it. My son was asking me about it, and he's like, all these things really dark? And I go, yeah, probably. I go, yeah. The Brody one is going to be.
Yeah, I've watched the Brody one, and I've watched, like, the first half of the Macho Man one. Yeah, they're dark. It's good. They're well done. I think the one for the Montreal Screwjob is actually airing as we record. If not, it airs Thursday night. I can't remember.
Yeah, but it was weird because the Brody one was available immediately to me. And I mentioned, I go into the Hulu and subscribe to it. Figure, all right, well, because it's listed as episode 3.
It is.
And then...
So the Brody one, they screened at StarCast last year. And that was this, like, screener copy of stuff they sent around. So it had been out there and people had seen it. So they put it up for free before the series actually ever launched.
Okay.
So I think...
Technically, the only episode that's been out has been the Macho Man one.
Right.
Okay.
So that's why. So sequentially, when they actually do the episodes, it airs third. But it's that was the first one people saw. And it was so well done. It's so good. And everybody knows the story, but now it's tragic.
Ridiculous. But, it's not even tragic. It's just...
But it's worth a watch. Even if you know the story, if you don't know the story. I think Vice basically even puts it up for free. Like 3 or 4 days after it airs, too. So you can probably catch it on Vice.com. But give it a watch. It's good. And it's good. Everyone should know their wrestling history. Especially the big stuff like that.
I mean, I was a fan of Brody when I was a lot younger. And just because he just seemed like this unusual character.
Mm-hmm.
And you read a lot about him in like the aftermags and stuff like that. Because he wasn't necessarily somebody that... I mean, he wasn't F guy. He wasn't WCW guy. He would take a paycheck wherever else it would be. I mean, he did AWA stuff. He was big in world class.
Yeah, he was a...
So much.
Yeah, he was a journeyman of the sport, man.
He was the ultimate free agent, you know. It was just... And from what I've read in Gary Hart's book, Brody was super intelligent.
That comes across in this documentary, too.
Yeah, he knew how to pretty much milk the system and make every cent that he could. And you know, he was working the game, and he could have worked it for a lot longer had he not done business in Puerto Rico.
Right. Yeah. And more about the business of Puerto Rico is included in this documentary. And there's parts of that I didn't know until I watched this. And you've got Abdullah, Tony Atlas, and blanking on his name.
Chmantel.
Thank you. Being the main ones telling the story.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
And Tony Atlas are two big supposed that were there,
yeah,
when it happened,
mm-hmm.
and were supposed to testify and
never did for some reason, not of their own accord, but
completely into it because it's something you should watch instead of having me explain it to you.
Yeah, go watch it. It's really well done. The second person requesting their release was, and Tom alluded to this, from Sanity, Alexander Wolf, which Sanity hadn't done a thing, so okay.
Oh, has he asked for his release, or
so
being released?
The way his little thing reads, so I think there's I don't think he's being released. Unless we get an announcement on Friday of mass release, which could be possible. I think they're long overdue for that. I'm just saying that from the, there's too many people on the roster, and this is a business standpoint.
Right.
Not that there's anybody around here that deserves to just be let go right now. Because there's not, I don't think. Sometimes you can look at the roster and be like, you know, if you got rid of all those people, it really wouldn't make a difference. But there are, you know, I would say everyone on the WWE roster now, if you put them in the right position, they could carry their own. But anyway, if you read his statement he put out, it reads as one of two things. One, he's asked for his release from WWE as a whole. Or two, he's, and I've seen it interpreted this way a lot too, he was basically saying goodbye to Sanity, since Sanity is now split, since Eric Young is going to Raw. And I guess Killian Dane's going to stay on SmackDown. So maybe he's going to NXT for repackaging.
See, I looked at the Killian Dane thing, and it almost seemed like he was being released, almost, or the whole Sanity breakup thing just, I don't know, it just...
It sucks, because that gimmick worked so well in NXT, and I'm not saying it didn't work on the main roster, because it was never given a chance.
Oh.
They got called up, and then they just disappeared off the face of the earth into the ether. Like, and then you bring up Nikki Cross, finally, and everyone's like, oh good, finally, we can put Sanity together as a whole, and it'll be great, and then they still didn't show up anywhere.
That was the weird thing, too. It's like they brought him up without Nikki Cross. And it's like, all right, well, it's three guys and, you know, whatever. Nikki brings such a different element to the unit as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, most of these groups are just, you know, collective groups of guys or whatever. And it's just Sanity. This is... You know, this kind of cult type deal that people have just found each other because they don't fit in anywhere else.
Right.
It's the closest. It's almost kind of like how the Raven's Flock thing was done in WCW.
Yeah.
Where a Raven would, you know, pick out these characters that just weren't working, and it's like, oh, you come under my umbrella because you're different. We know that you're different. And Billy Kidman forgets how to wash his body, and Hammer becomes a thing.
Yeah. Very sad to see Sanity break up. Also breaking up, the Riot Squad, with Liv Morgan being drafted to SmackDown. Or assigned to SmackDown, I should say. Kind of sucks. I like that. It was a good stable. They never, achieved any greatness, too. But yeah. So, I know Liv wrote a very heartfelt thing on Instagram, I believe, about it. It just kind of sucks. Because they lose their friends. Not like everyone on the roster isn't, you know, friends anyway. But, you know, that's the people you ride with. That's the people you're performing with. The people you're sharing a hotel room with, like, that's family at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's that tightness, it's that bond, and I mean, these are three people that were in NXT together that all got called up at the same time and all got packaged together.
Yeah. Then, and like I said, did very well as a unit, right? Like, you know, were they ever pushed to the forefront? No, but they played their supporting role incredibly well.
It's funny because when it happened, we looked at it because same week as Paige's group with Sony Deville and Mandy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're just going to call up groups of three now. And we pointed to similarities between the two. And
yeah.
But no, Riot Squad ended up working. And
yeah. So that's sad. They, so we'll see.
They've got... They're three very different girls, so, I mean, different direction.
Yeah.
But.
Liv can go off and get her own identity back with that banger theme music she has, too. Give her that back, which would be great. Rather than the rock and roll high school theme song. All right, quickly, as we hit an hour here almost... Let's talk about injuries. Nia Jax blew out both her knees, having double ACL surgery. Out 9 to 12 months.
Ow.
Yeah. And what I'm going to say, I'm not saying... Everyone knows I support Nia as a human being, even though I think she's a terrible wrestler. At her size, that really sucks.
And I was just trying to think of it because, I mean, when you get an ACL tear, it's, you know, obviously, I mean, she's an athlete just like
yeah,
everybody else is in WWE. But I was just trying to figure out, like, did she completely wrong and blow them both out? Because ACL tear isn't something that gradually happens.
But depending on the grade of the tear, you can work on it. Because if you think about whichever WrestleMania it was, I guess it was Shawn Austin. It was 15, right?
Yes.
Shawn was working through a tear there, an ACL tear. And he worked through it. So.
I mean, a sprain's a sprain. And
yeah. Yeah, that sucks. So, get well soon, Nia. And
yeah.
Maybe when you come back, botch less. Big E's got a torn meniscus. He's out for a while. That's a 6 week. That's a quick 6 weeks, though.
I was going to say, that's not... It's not, you know, tragic. It's not an ACL.
No. And depending on how the tear was and how they had to do the surgery, you know, they did the surgery yesterday. He could be walking on it today. So, if it was a quick laparoscopic fix, he can be back up in no time. But given the nature of his work, it takes a little bit longer to rehab it and make sure everything's fine. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
The only thing I was just going to say is, as a heavier guy, it's more so when you're dealing with meniscus tears. It's dealing with the after effect later on down the line, not necessarily the immediate effect. I mean, obviously it's going to hurt because of the tear initially and the swelling. Not thinking necessarily, say, 6 months down the line, because you can get back into action relatively quick. It's just a matter of much further down the line when you're talking about arthritic knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it used to be, and things have changed, thankfully. When I tore mine, the doctor's thing was, well, we can let it grow on its own, kind of do a little bit of cleanup and repair. But for a lot of people, they just take the cartilage out because the meniscus is the cartilage that
mm-hmm.
is between the bone and the knee, both sides there. At that cartilage to eventually lead to arthritis and then knee replacement surgery. So
right. Yeah.
Don't rush back, Biggie.
No. And much like I said about Nia, that's a big boy, and that's a knee problem. That's going to hurt. And then Meltzer reporting, I don't know if it was on Wrestling Observer Radio or in the newsletter, apparently Daniel Bryan was hurt at Mania. His status, what the nature of the injury was, all of that is being very closely guarded. So that would lead one to believe he may have been concussed. But I don't want to speculate on that. Because who knows? But and then it's a Meltzer report, too. So maybe they just have him off TV because, you know, he just lost the title. And there's no need to bring him back the last 2 weeks. Huh? Plans change.
Things change.
Concussions change. So I think that's about it, right? Anything else we can think of?
I mean, that's WWE. Japan, nothing necessarily.
AEW has officially signed Shima. They booked a few matches for the card in Jacksonville, including Omega versus Shima and Brandi Rhodes versus Allie. So that's cool.
Reportedly, the G1 opener in Dallas, tickets are not selling as quickly as they had hoped. So they're making sure that that card is actually stacked up. They're getting Okada on the card. They're getting...
Dallas is such a weird market to put it in, though. I realize it is as central in the U.S. as you can realistically get, based on where big cities are. Like, geographically center.
Yeah.
But who wants to go to Dallas in July? That just sounds hot and miserable.
Yeah. As someone who went to Dallas in late June.
Right. June, fine. Don't want to go in July.
Hashtag can confirm.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
I think we can wrap this one up.
I think we can put a bow on it, sir. So next week, storylines will happen again. Yay! And maybe there will be other news in the wrestling world.
Oh.
It'd be good. I'd like to talk about something other than WWE for an hour. It would be great. Just nothing horrible. And nobody die.
Let's not spin it into death, please.
Yeah. All right, so we'll get out of here next week. We'll be back with whatever happens in the world of wrestling. So for another episode of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, I'm JC.
We're going to sign off, JC.
That's what I was in the middle of doing. I was doing the sign off.
You were doing the sign off, but don't we do something before that?
Oh, right.
Find me on Twitter, @ Mr. Workrate, @ MR Workrate.
Tom,
social media things.
Thank you, Tom, for telling the people where they can find you on the internet.
Yes.
You can find me on the internet @ JC Bobbitt, JCBOBBITT, wherever finer social media is purveyed. You can find the show on Twitter @ CheatersNVRPin. You can find us on Instagram @ CheatersNeverPin. And you can find us on Facebook, CheatersNeverPin. Give us a big blue thumbs up and tell us how much you like us. Go get a free audiobook at audibletrial.com/CheatersNeverPin. And before you do any shopping on Amazon, go to CheatersNeverPin.com and click the big buy on Amazon button on the front page. A few cents come to us. Are you happy now, Tom?
Do not have routine, we have chaos.
Yes. This pin mail, I'm gonna save this pin mail. I feel like if I use it this week, it's a curse.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it until everything's done. So
also,
hopefully it gets saved for weeks.
I will save for the shout out anyway. Our pin mail that we are saving comes from before, who apparently was at the tailgate on Monday, supposedly saw me, did not seek me out.
He wants to keep the mystery alive.
Oh.
I feel like something gets shattered when people meet you in real life, Tom.
Wear my liger mask tomorrow, maybe.
There you go. All right, now we can get out of here. So for another episode of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, my name is JC. And we'll catch you on the flip side.